Welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. Guess who I am?
Jim Samaria.
That's right. And who are you?
Well, I'm Mark Plotnick, Jim's co-host. Each week, we will highlight a different theme from the greatest era for rock and roll music, the 1950s through the early 1980s.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which, by the way, is available on Amazon and at Black Circle Records in Lake Geneva. It features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day, with words by that handsome rock historian, Mark Plotnick.
It is beautiful in Lake Geneva. Go up
there. It is. And today's show features bands that kick brass.
Nice play on words. Jim's referring to rock bands that featured horns, trumpets, trombones, and saxophones, although the sax is technically a reed instrument. I am really excited about today's featured music, but I confess I was not a fan of brass instruments during my teens.
Oh, please tell me why.
Well, you know, Jim, horns and such did not fit my concept of rock music. But that changed when the band Chicago and the Flock released their debut albums. And then I recall that the Doors added horns to their 1968 hit song, Touch Me, and I thought, well, if it's okay with the Lizard King, it's okay with Plotnick.
Yeah, but Mark, how could you love the Beatles and not love brass instruments? They were used in so many Beatles songs. You also love the album John Mayall's Bluesbreaker with Eric Clapton. That had brass on it. And your beloved Pink Floyd from their 1970 album Atom Heart Mother had a lot of brass on it, too. I'm glad that your taste matured, because I love brass bands.
Yeah, well, I'm glad my taste matured, too. I began to appreciate the richness and expressiveness of brass instruments and how they fortified the music.
Yeah, but, you know, for me, brass was part of the music. I heard it growing up. The power of the horns really hit me in the 1967 song Bend Me, Shape Me by the American Breed. Yeah, it was a moment when I knew there was more to rock than, you know, just guitar, bass, keyboards, and drum. By the way, I'm sure I've said this before, my friend Leo Graziano, the drummer on that song, is a friend, and he played at my wedding.
Oh boy, dropping those names again, Jim. But yep. That sure beats the trio played at my wedding, but at least they let me sit in for a song. But enough about our weddings. Today's show features rock bands with brass from the 1960s and 1970s. We can't cover them all, but our choices are hard to argue with, so sit back and enjoy. Jim, you get today's first selection.
Well, the band we're going to feature is who else? Chicago. Started with Maywood-born Walter Perezader. Walter had an idea to have a rock and roll band with horns, and after being influenced by, once again, a Beatles song, Got to Get You Into My Life.
Beatles influence again.
Again, yes. And Walter formed a band called The Big Thing with fellow DePaul student, trumpeter Lee Loughnane, who was from Elmwood Park, longtime friends and Missing Links bandmates, drummer Danny Serafin, who was from Chicago, and guitarist extraordinaire Terry Kath, who went to Taft High School. Trombonist James Pankow was a new transfer student to DePaul. He followed, quickly came aboard, was Roosevelt University student, keyboardist singer Robert Lamb, and bassist singer Peter Cetera from the band The Exceptions, was asked to join the classic lineup, was set then. Under the guidance of manager-producer James William Guercio and changing their name to Chicago Transit Authority, this new band was ready to roll in 1967. The uniqueness of the band was that they played straight-up rock and roll, but with a little bit of jazz, a little bit of R&B, and some classical influences that the brass section provided. The song that we're going to play is called Introduction. It was written and sung by the heart and soul of the band, Terry Kath, and they purposely placed it on side one and song one of their 1969 debut album, Chicago Transit Authority. Here's Chicago introducing themselves to the music world.
Hey there, everybody. Please don't romp around. We're a little nervous, but we're so far from home. So this is what we do. Sit back and let it do and let us work on you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jim, you know, it's a well-known fact that the band changed their name from CTA to Chicago because of legal action by the mass transit company, CTA.
Yeah, I did know that. But, you know, it should be better known that Jimi Hendrix once said this about the band, and I quote, "Your horn players are like the one set of lungs, and your guitar player is better than me." That's what he said. Anyway, okay. The leader of your next band is someone I photographed in concert, past and present, and is in our book.
Yes.
As well as his legendary blues guitar playing brother. Who may that be, Mark?
Well, I'll tell you who that may be. As most rock and roll aficionados know, brothers Edgar and Johnny Winter were extremely close. They not only shared a medical condition known as albinism, but they were musical comrades in arms from an early age. After many years playing together, Edgar formed his own 8-piece horn-driven outfit. They were aptly named Edgar Winter's White Trash in reference to Winter's very pale skin and whitish hair color. They played blue-white funk, blues, soul, R&B, and rock and roll. They initially released one studio album along with a 1971 live album titled Roadwork. Music journalist Danny Goldberg called Roadwork the most authentic and refreshing sound of 1971. But unfortunately, the band had broken up by this time. My song selection for White Trash is Keep Playing That Rock and Roll. The song was written by Edgar Winter and is autobiographical. The lyrics tell his musical journey. Let's listen.
Don't you know that I was sitting back in bed? You know that
when Edgar formed White Trash, he searched for top-flight musicians from his native Texas and Gulf Coast regions. Among these was Jerry LaCroix, a musician Edgar knew from a young age. Jerry sang, wrote, composed, and played a mean blues harp and saxophone. Jimmy, there was one key White Trash member that was not from the South. He was the guitar player. I know you know who he was.
That would have to be Rick Derringer, who was in the McCoys. That's where they got him. And he wrote the hit song Hang On Sloopy for the McCoys way back when. And he also produced albums for Edgar and Johnny Winter.
Ding, ding, ding.
Very good. Ding, ding, ding.
And by the way, Edgar Winter's White Trash played their first gig in a health food store in the town of Woodstock, New York. And they literally played for their supper. Jim, your next band was one of the highlights at the original Woodstock Festival. Do tell.
Well, true, but first, you are listening to their classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU LP 101.5 FM, and on demand. The next band was formed in 1966, also are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, one of the first fully integrated bands, and they played fusion, soul, rock, and funk. The name of the band is Sly and the Family Stone. Led by ex-radio DJ Sylvester Stewart, who was known as Sly Stone, Sly brought in a rhythm section of bassist Larry Graham Jr. and drummer Greg Errico, whose beat drove this band forward. Sly's brother Fred Stewart was on guitar and Rosie Stone on piano. But we're going to be featuring Cynthia Robinson, who played trumpet, and Jerry Martini, who played sax. Known as one of the best live bands with singer Sly as the charismatic frontman, the band was a must-see event.
Yeah, if they showed up. That is, you know, Sly did have a reputation for being late or not showing up for a gig.
Yeah, but they did show up at Woodstock, and they were a showstopper.
Yes, they were.
Their song Dance to the Music was released in 1967 and became their first big hit. Try to stay still, Mark, while listening to this song.
I can't. I love this song. Jim, I'm still dancing. I can't stop. I love that line, all squares go home.
Yeah, get off the table, please. All right. A little more trivia on the band. Cynthia Robinson played flute as a youth, but she switched to trumpet when she loved the sound it produced. She joined her high school band but was bullied by some of the boys, darn boys, and teachers for her playing supposedly a boy's instrument. She persisted, but I guess she had the last laugh. Saxophonist Jerry Martini began his musical journey playing the clarinet, but by the age of 13, he was playing the saxophone, and by 15, he was gigging at local establishments. He met Sly, and the rest is rock and roll history. Hey, Mark, you have coming up one of my favorite bands and led by one of my favorite guitarists of all time. Tell me who they are.
Well, that's right, Jim, particularly about the guitarist. The band played their first gig in front of thousands at the historic 1967 Monterey Pop Festival. Talk about pressure. But what made the Electric Flag so remarkable was the range of musical talent. And the favorite guitarist you referred to was blues guitar superstar Mike Bloomfield. He had left the Paul Butterfield Blues Band wanting to create a genre-busting outfit complete with horns. And that band was the Electric Flag, and they were all about experimentation. They merged big city blues, rock, Stax Records, soul, R&B, rockabilly, jazz, and even psychedelia. They were full of ambition and energy, but that also made them short-lived. At one point, the band boasted 11 members, including Buddy Miles. They paved their way for bands like Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears. They were way ahead of their time. From their debut album, A Long Time Coming, here is their version of the Howlin' Wolf song, Killing Floor.
A long time ago, yes, I should have quit you, baby, a long time ago. You know I wouldn't be here now, people, down on the killing floor. If I'd have listened to my second mind, yes, if I had listened to my second mind, I wouldn't be here now, people, down on the killing floor.
Jim, I have a question for you. What did Electric Flag members Mike Bloomfield, vocalist Nick the Greek Graminitis, and keyboardist Barry Goldberg have in common?
They were all very famous and proud Chicagoans, just like we are. We should also mention that many Electric Flag members went on to play with other historic acts.
Yes. For example, drummer Buddy Miles had his own amazing career, which included the new and funkier Jimi Hendrix trio called the Band of Gypsies, which is my favorite Hendrix band.
And did you know that Mike Bloomfield befriended a young guitarist from Mexico by the name of Carlos Santana?
I did not.
Yep. Bloomfield was not looking for stardom, but did enjoy mentoring other musicians he admired.
And here's an even stranger piece of trivia. Before the Electric Flag cut their first album, they played the soundtrack for a sleazy movie called The Trip, starring Peter Fonda. And it was written by Jack Nicholson. Have you ever seen The Trip?
No, that was before Easy Rider, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was before Easy Rider.
Okay.
Well, Jim, your next band is one of the cornerstones of rock, and again, from Chicago. What do you got?
A lot of Chicago area musicians today, right?
Yep.
In the mid to late 1960s, many Chicago bands were gaining great popularity. There was the Shadows of Night, the Crying Shames, the New Colony Six. But the one band that really hit it big nationally was the Buckinghams. Originally, they were called the Pulsations and changed their name to the Buckinghams so they would sound more British, you know, after Buckingham Fountain. The band was formed in 1966 with the members coming from other local bands. The classic lineup was singer Denny Tufano, Carl G. Marisi, Nick Fortuna, John Polis, and keyboardist Dennis McCullis, and he was soon replaced by Marty Greb. The Buckinghams had five top 20 hits in 1967, and Billboard magazine named them the most listened to band in America. I mean, more than the Beatles, more than everyone else. Amazing. James William Guercio, who also did Chicago, produced their songs with some of their biggest hits written by Chicagoan Jimmy Halvey, who is a member of the Chicago band The Mob.
Hey.
Yeah, not that mob. The other, not those guys.
Yeah.
The Buckinghams took the instrumental song Mercy, 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 which was recorded by Cannonball Adderley and written by keyboardist Joe Zawinul. How do you pronounce that? Zawinul?
Yeah, Zawinul. I was going to ask that too. But yeah. That gentleman later reached some fame with the jazz fusion band Weather Report.
Another great band.
And the Buckinghams added lyrics to the instrumental, and they made the song their own. Let's listen.
My baby, she made out of love, like one of those bunnies out of the Playboy Club. But she got something much greater than gold. Crazy about that girl, how she got so much soul. I said she got the kind of love that kissing and a hugging sure is metal. Glad that I'm a fella, and I know that she not.
Buckingham from Chicago, great band. Mm-hmm. The guys who played brass on that were from the Wrecking Crew, and that is Richard Leith on trombone, Bill Peterson and Bud Childers playing the trumpets, and John Johnson on saxophone. Stay tuned for part two of the Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM, and on demand.